Say, this is God's word. No, no, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, my ears are open, and I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is quick and it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that the word of God is living. You watch over it to perform it, and heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. And so, Lord, I pray today that your word will reach a place in every couple's hearts. That, Father, where their hearts are hard, your word will soften their heart. Where their hearts may need forgiven, that, Father, forgiveness will be released today. But most of all, I pray that, Father, as the word come, that faith will come as they hear it, and that, Father, their hearts will receive the word by faith, and the faith that they hear will change their life. So I speak over every married couple today, those who are watching and those who are in this room. I speak stability. I speak blessings. I speak peace. I speak prosperity. I speak unity. I speak, Father, trouble free. Some of you have been in a season of trouble, but the Lord is telling me to tell you today the trouble has ceased today. And Lord, we declare for strong, prosperous marriages being raised up in this place in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. You may be seated. Well, we're in a series entitled Let's Fight. Everybody say, let's fight. And so for the whole month of September, if you're just joining us today, we've divided our church by relationship status. And what that means is our 9 o'clock services for the whole month have been designed to minister to our married couples. And so if you're here this morning and you're not married and you didn't know, then I'm going to encourage you to stay after this service, because we have our 11 o'clock service, which is designed for our singles. Now, because today's message is so vital to marital relationships, I just want to jump right in so we can learn and grow. Amen. I heard a story about a concerned husband. And so he goes to his family doctor and he says, I think my wife is deaf because she never hears me on the first time I say something. He says, in fact, I often have to repeat things over and over again. I wonder who is that in your relationship right now. It's mine. It's me. Well, the doctor replies, I want you to go home tonight. And I want you to stand about 15 feet from your wife, and then I want you to say something. And then he says, if you don't get a reply from her, I want you to move 5 feet closer. And then if that doesn't work, I want you to keep trying until you're close enough to see when she responds. And that will help us see the severity of her deafness. And so sure enough, the husband goes home that evening, and he does exactly what the doctor says. He starts out 15 feet behind her. And he says, honey, what's for dinner tonight? Because she's in the kitchen cooking and chopping up some vegetables. He gets no response. So he comes in 5 more feet closer. And he asks the same question. Honey, what's for dinner tonight? He gets no reply from her. So then he moves 5 feet closer. And then he says it again. Still no response. And so fed up with what, you know, not her not saying something, he walks right up behind her, inches away, and says, honey, what's for dinner? And she replies, for the fourth time, we have vegetable stew. He was the one that was deaf. You won't appreciate that joke unless you're the one having to say something over and over and over again in a relationship. Praise the Lord. So if you're taking notes, our message title today is Fight for Grace to Communicate. Fight for Grace to Communicate. And the purpose of today's message is to help married couples approach communicating with each other with a graceful attitude, with graceful words, with graceful actions, and prayerfully that will lead to a graceful outcome. Say amen to that. Because see, listen, the whole goal of communication as couples should be, watch this, mutual understanding and a unified resolution. So let's just jump into this and let's just talk about what is grace. What is grace? Well, grace, according to the Bible, is showing undeserved favor and kindness in our actions and in our act and in our attitude. So everybody say undeserved kindness and undeserved favor in my actions and in my attitude. And see, this is something most couples don't really normally give to each other, especially when it's needed the most, and that's during communication. Our attitude sometimes can be, well, they ain't treat me nice, so why should I treat them nice? But that's the whole point of grace. It's giving something to someone who doesn't seem to deserve it. So just look at your spouse and say, I'm going to give it to you anyway. So let's look at some ways that we can communicate with grace. I got 5 points, and hopefully if you all are good today, I'll get through all 5 of them. But as you listen to the word, I don't want you to listen to what your spouse is not doing, because that's so easy to do. You're listening for, see, she ain't doing that. Oh, listen, he ain't doing that. I hope he listening. Oh, he ain't here today, so I'm going to make sure he watch it. No. We're going to focus on just us. Look at your spouse and say, focus on you. Now look at him again and say, don't be pointing at me like that. Don't. Mm-hmm. So here's point number one, if you're taking notes. It takes grace to biblically communicate. It takes grace to biblically communicate. See, you have a choice to make. Since you're a believer now, you have a choice to communicate as a believer, or you have a choice to communicate as a carnal, unbelieving believer, or just an unbeliever altogether. See, people like that just cuss each other out. Nobody in here though. And see, here's the thing, church. Grace is so powerful that it's the very thing that God used to save us. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace, which means God showing us undeserved favor and kindness, have we been saved. So the grace of God is what saved us. Say amen to that. And so if grace, listen to this now, if grace is powerful enough for God to use to save us, then grace is powerful enough to save our relationships. Amen. And if grace can spiritually save you, then grace can maritally save you. Everybody say, if grace can spiritually save me, then grace can maritally save me. Amen. So let's look at our foundational verse that we're going to use today. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look in verse 29. And I'm reading out of the King James Version. Watch what it says here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Stop. Everybody look up at me. It just told us right up front, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth, which says that we have the potential and the ability to not let negative things come out of our mouth, because if we wouldn't or we couldn't, God would not have asked us to do it. Say amen to that. He says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But this is what needs to come out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace, undeserved favor and kindness to those who are hearing. See, as believers, and specifically married couples, one of the goals of communicating should be, watch this, to make sure what we say builds up our spouse and it's seasoned, watch this, with favor and kindness. See, seasoning is something that can make or break a dish. How many can cook in here? Any cookers? Any people that can burn? Literally burn? You can have the best meat. You could have bought it from the best supermarket. But if you put too much salt on it, you have ruined the dish. Well, it's the same way with communicating with your spouse. It's not just what you say, it's how you say it. Listen to the Amplified version of Ephesians 4:29. Watch what he says. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. Wow. But only, everybody say, but only. But only such speech as is good for building up others, I'm going to say building up your spouse, according to the need and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear. When you speak to your spouse, is it a blessing? Here's a take-home statement that I want you to think about this week. When grace, which means what? Favor and what else? And kindness. When grace is diminished, proper biblical communication is finished. I'm going to say that again. When grace is diminished, in other words, as your grace on how you communicate with your spouse goes lower, then watch this now, the principles of biblical communication goes lower. See, we're not called by God to communicate to each other and with each other like the world does. So every time you talk, listen, you should be conscious about what you are going to say. Why? Listen to Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. This is what Jesus said. He says, I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day, watch this, for every idle word you speak. Jesus said the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. So I want you and I to be very conscious that before you open your mouth up, your attitude and your actions before you do anything or say anything is going to be, well, what I'm going to say is going to have some grace to it. Which now brings us to point number two, which is grace-filled communication, watch this, requires intentional effort. Everybody say intentional effort. Listen, communicating to your spouse with grace does not happen automatically. Some things we think as believers, it's just going to happen. But listen, there are certain things in life, it ain't going to happen till you make it happen. Listen, how many believe it's the will of God for you to wear clothes? Raise your hand if you believe it is the will of God for you to wear clothes. Exactly. So guess what? But God didn't clothe you this morning. You did. And so for us to experience grace-filled communication, it requires intentional effort. Because speaking with favor and kindness doesn't come natural. Especially in times of stress and conflict and anger. In fact, it's something we must fight to do intentionally by, watch this church, surrendering our emotions and our reactions to God. Here's a take-home statement. Here's another one. Your emotional life will impact your marital life. I'm going to say that again. Your emotional life will impact your marital life. That's why you got to get your emotions together. Because, see, if your emotions are off, guess what? You're going to communicate in your relationship off. See, your emotions were never meant to lead you. They were given by God to you to feed you. I'm going to say that again. Your emotions were never meant to lead you. They have been given to us by God to feed you. You say, well, what do you mean by that? God designed our emotions to feed us information, but not lead us to our destination. You say, well, why, Pastor? Because your emotions are like the Texas weather. It's going to change. Up and down, up and down. you feel good one minute, you don't feel good the next minute. And in a lot of cases, our emotions are unstable and they're not trustworthy. So look at your spouse and say, he's about to say something real hard here. Listen, are you ready for this? If your emotions lead you consistently to respond in negative patterns or in negative ways on a regular basis, you have unresolved trauma. Oh, I'm going to say that again. I just slept about 25 people in here. Pa, 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 pa. Listen to what I said. Because see, some of you all are stuck in negative patterns and you brought those to the relationship. But it looks like you're doing them because your spouse is making you do them. When the fact is, you brought some unresolved issues and trauma into the relationship. And because you've consistently worked in that pattern, it's normal to you. But you now don't realize your normal is dysfunctional. I'm going to say it again. If your emotions lead you to consistently respond in negative patterns and in negative ways, you have unresolved trauma. You got something going on that you need to take care of. You don't cuss him out because he made you mad. That you was cussing before you met him. We got a cusso right over here. Listen, church. I'm going to go down and I'm going to come back up. Here's the problem with unresolved trauma. Unresolved trauma will make it difficult to respond with grace. Because listen, trauma pulls a person back to what happened to them. And specifically, it pulls them back to how whatever they went through, how it made them feel. So now it causes a person to protect themselves in unhealthy ways and patterns. The bottom line is this. If you don't resolve some trauma, if you don't go back to see, why do I shut down? Why do I want to leave every time we run into some conflict? Why you want to pack your bag? You got a permanently packed bag at the front door. Your wife, I already know, soon as y'all have an argument, you gonna take your little bag and go to mama's house. That's the problem. You supposed to leave and cleave, mama. So once you get your trauma stuff straight, and you say, well, how do I get that straight, Pastor Evan? Because see, some of you all, watch this now, your trauma is causing trauma. I'm just pausing so you can think about that. Here's the problem. Some of your handed down trauma came from mama them. How many from Texas? From Texas? Oh, you understand mama them? You know what that means? Mama and them. That's what mama them mean. Some of you all's trauma was handed down dysfunctional things from mama them. So you saw mama cuss, fuss, go off, throw stuff. You saw her do that. That's normal to you. Your husband's like, oh man, wow. That's not how we resolve stuff in my house. But then your husband, his dysfunctional trauma is he saw his dad get into an argument and just shut down, didn't talk to you for 2 weeks. You think that's normal. So here it is now. You married. But y'all roommates. I got a remedy for you at the end to help you with this. But the only reason I'm bringing it up is it's hard to minister grace in communicating if you got stuff that was going on in your life that's causing you to be that way. Can I get an amen? Okay, so speaking with grace can only happen when you really understand the power of words. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous The mouth of a righteous man or woman is a well of life. Well, the opposite of that is true too. The mouth of an unrighteous man or woman is a well of death. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Listen to Proverbs 31:26. This is a description of the Proverbs 31 woman. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue, I love this, is the law of kindness. I be watching Charisse function in this sometimes. See, you know, the girls, two different ages, two different levels. And so, you know, London is the one that can change the mix in the morning. Okay, we go through the whole thing. We pick out, help her pick out what you're going to wear the day before. Try it on too. But it just depends on where she is that morning to decide if that's what she want to go with. So then she'll come in that morning and she's all over the place. She don't want to wear it. It don't feel right. Or it's, now it's ugly. I don't know. It was all right in the morning or last night. And then you woke up, it's ugly. We don't know. And so I'll see her come in there and she all over the place. And most of the time, not all the time, most of the time, Charisse would be like, well, London, she'd be so sweet. And when I see her, cause it's intentional, cause I know she want to go off. Cause I see her go off now. Don't think first lady sweet now. She is sweet, but she gonna go off too now. Cause I've seen her go off and I be trying to get London. I be, London, listen, London. I'm trying to help you, sister. No, I'm serious. This is what I be saying. I say, listen, today is not the day. I pull her to the side, but listen, dude, I don't want to see you get a whoop in London. I don't want to see that. London don't be listening. But when Charisse is all kind, I know it's intentional. After I see her do it, I was like, babe, you did so good. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a soft answer. What can I answer, church? A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out knowledge, foolishness. Watch verse, Proverbs 15 in the ERB version. A gentle answer. What can I answer, church? A gentle answer makes anger disappear, but a rough answer makes it grow. Amen. Now see, I'm very expressive. You all can probably tell what you see up here is what you get at home. So I can be overly expressive. I call it passion. And so sometimes when Charisse and I are talking, I'll get passionate. I'm not yelling, but my passion has increased in volume. She be trying to help me like, babe. So I remember one time I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, look, what's happening? He was like, Evan, he said, you need to bring your volume down, your passion down, as you call it, when you're talking to Charisse. He said, listen, she's my daughter. I don't even talk to her in that tone. Oh man, he stabbed me in my heart. So every now and then I'll check in. Am I doing good? The last time I checked in, she said, no, you're not doing good. Everybody say it, don't spray it. When I was growing up, that was a saying, right? When you're talking to somebody and they spit in your face or you see some spit fly, you're like, whoa. We used to say to them, say it, don't spray it. Well, what I mean in this context is, say it, but don't spray it. Bring it down. See, passion can be expressed without the volume going up. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Listen to Colossians 4:6. It says, let what you say be always. Everybody say always. I don't care what kind of mood you woke up in. I don't care what side of the bed. Listen, God don't care what side of the bed you woke up in. God does not care how much sleep you did or didn't get last night. That's your fault. He says, listen, let what you say always be with what, church? With grace, which means favor and kindness. He says what you say needs to be seasoned with what? Salt. With salt. So all of you all should have got a salt and pepper shaker. Y'all get this? Y'all get this? Y'all get this? All right, good, 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 good. All right, so this right here, I want it to be as a reminder that salt represents grace and kindness and love. The pepper represents death. So before you open that trap you got in front of your face, ask yourself the question, is what I'm about to say, is it going to sprinkle some grace and some favor and some kindness? But Pastor, I'm tired of saying it. I'm pretty sure that God is saying the same thing to you. I'm tired of saying that. Say it, say it, say it. That is. He said, let it always be seasoned with grace. So I want you to carry that around with you for a week. I don't want to be carrying no salt and pepper. Use it then. Take it with you and use it. Every time you look at it, you remember, okay, before you make the phone call, before you send the text, read it. If it doesn't have kindness and grace and love with it, guess what? You're not going to send it. Thank you for those four scattered claps in the congregation. Listen to Colossians 4:6 in the Voice translation. He says, when you speak the word, when you talk to your spouse, speak to them how, church? Gracefully, as if seasoned with what? Salt. Which now leads us to our next point. Because see, effective communication is not just talking right, but it's also listening right. Which brings us to point number three, and that is grace-filled communication involves listening more than speaking. I'm going to say that again. Grace-filled communication involves listening more than speaking. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, sistren, let every man, let every woman be swift to hear. Let them be slow to speak. And let them be slow to anger. Church, listening is a form of grace because it shows that we value our spouse's thoughts and feelings. So when you don't listen, you're not showing grace and kindness toward them because you're not listening with grace. You're not listening so they can express their thoughts and feelings. Listen to James 1:19 in the Voice translation. He says, listen, open your ears, harness your desire to speak, and don't get worked up into a rage so easily, my brothers and sisters. Why? Because human anger is a futile exercise that would never produce God's kind of justice in this world. Listen to the Amplified. This right here is so good. He says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. That means to be a careful and thoughtful listener. Be slow to speak, which means a speaker of carefully chosen words. And then he says, and be slow to anger, which is patient and reflective forgiving. So, verse 20, it says, for the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. See, oftentimes we're more focused on making our point than we are on understanding our spouse's point. But when we fight for grace to communicate, listen, we take the time to listen with some empathy and with some compassion because your goal, listen, is not just to make your point. Your goal is to make your point without the ultimate goal sometimes of mutual understanding. See, sometimes people communicate and their point of communication is just for them to make their point. But the goal of communication should be mutual understanding and agreement. Say amen to that. Amen. This means that two things should be present in your listening or when you're communicating. Number one, you're listening with graceful ears. Everybody say graceful ears. You got to practice graceful listening. Because you say, what is that? Graceful listening is listening with full attention. You ain't texting, scrolling, listening. No, you're right there. You're not watching TV. It's quiet, ain't it? So you got to practice graceful listening. Graceful listening should be able, when you are gracefully listening, you should be able to reflect back to your spouse what you heard and ensure you've understood your spouse. Watch this, by acknowledging what they said and just acknowledging their perspective. But let me just throw this at you. Please remember that disagreeing with what they said does not mean you didn't hear what they said. Because sometimes when you don't agree with what they said, they might feel like you didn't hear them. Well, no, you heard them. You just don't agree. Say amen to that. So grace-filled communication involves listening more than speaking. Here's number four. We're almost done here. Grace-filled communication means speaking the truth in love. Now, this one right here is going to be real touchy right here. Everybody say grace-filled communication means speaking the truth in love. Most problems in marriages stem from two things. Number one, unresolved issues. And number two, undiscussed issues. Everybody say unresolved issues and undiscussed issues. Amen. Unresolved issues exist because a couple have not been able to discuss an issue thoroughly enough to come to a mutual agreement. But undiscussed issues are problems that may exist within one of the people in the relationship, and they don't feel comfortable enough for whatever reason or confident enough to bring this issue to their spouse to address it. And here's the problem. This is where what I call silence in the relationship is mistaken for peace. Silence doesn't mean peace. Amen. As a matter of fact, silence in the relationship typically leads to sin. Okay, you said break it down for me. Okay, let's take Adam. Remember Adam and Eve? And she was talking to the devil, and she shouldn't have been. And he talked her into doing something that she shouldn't have done. So she touched something she shouldn't have touched, and she ate something she shouldn't have ate. The whole time, Adam was silent. I'm going to say it again. Silence a lot of times is mistaken for peace, but it typically leads to sin. Because see, if you're silent, meaning that you have decided to not discuss something that's bothering you or whatever the case is, what's happening is your silence can now produce resentment. You mad that something has happened, but you ain't saying nothing about it. Or silence can produce unforgiveness. You just shut down and like, you know what? And now unforgiveness eventually happens because you got offended, but you didn't say nothing. Everybody say silence never resolves the issue. Amen. This is where now you must love yourself and love your spouse enough to speak the truth in love and with love. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 says, to speak the truth in love, which means that we must be honest with our spouse, but doing so in ways that honor Christ and honors them. See, the harsh reality is this. Touch your spouse and say, he's getting ready to talk to you right now. The harsh reality is this. Until you're able to speak the truth in love in your relationship, it won't grow. So now couples wonder why their relationship is stagnant. Ain't moving. Ain't going nowhere. Y'all ain't no closer than y'all was when y'all said I do, and that was 15 years ago. Intimacy has stopped. There's no connection point no more. Why? Because I'm going to show you the moment you stop speaking the truth in love, is the moment your relationship stops growing. I'm going to prove it to you. Ephesians 4:15. We're going to read the rest of the verse. He says, but speaking the truth, how, church? In love, what's going to happen? That we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So a lot of marriages eventually stop growing together in Christ and towards each other because conversations of truth and love are not taking place. Because you're substituting your silence for peace. Pastor, I don't want to deal with that attitude. Okay. What's going to happen is you're going to end up, I'm going to be real, touch your neighbor, say, touch your spouse, say, he's about to be real right now. Let me tell you what's going to happen. If you stop addressing issues in love, you're going to stop growing. So what happens is now build up happens. So you don't want to talk now. Can we talk? No. So then you stop talking. Well, you're going to stop touching when you stop talking. Hello, church. Then you stop touching. Guess what's going to happen now? Nothing. So ain't nothing happening in bed. Ain't nothing happening outside the bed. Ain't nothing even happening in your head. And although our focus should be grace to communicate, listen, it doesn't mean avoiding hard conversations or pretending that everything is fine. Your attitude has shifted and you know it shifted and your spouse is saying, hey, are you okay? I'm all right. You're not all right. Do you know they've lived long enough with you to know when you got a problem? Why is it that you have lived with you all these years and you don't know when you got a problem? So ladies, let me help you. I'm almost done here. Ladies. An issue in your relationship will never get properly resolved until you bring your emotions down enough where you can be logical. I'm going to say that again. Man of God, look at your wife and say, he's talking to you right now. Go on and tell him. Don't be scared. Tell him right now. I'm going to say that again. And I'm just going by general because generally ladies are more emotional than men. So ladies, an issue will never get properly resolved until you bring your emotions down enough where you can be logical. If you keep your emotions high, you will not be logical and you cannot resolve the issue. That's like trying to resolve an issue with a crack addict. He is fully high. You cannot be logical with a crack addict. The high has to come down. When you cannot, woman of God, resolve the issue if you don't bring your emotions down so you can be logical. Fellas, I'm an equal opportunity pastor. Fellas, an issue would never get resolved permanently because we like to bring stuff back up. It would never get resolved permanently until you bring your anger down long enough where you can listen logically. Because when a man is mad, he ain't listening logically. Ephesians 4:29, I need to hurry up. Do not let unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words come out of your mouth, but only such speech that is good to build up each other according to the need and the occasions. I'm jumping down to verse 31, media department. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and perpetual animosity and resentment and strife and fault-finding and slandering be put away from you. Along with every kind of malice, which is all spitefulness and verbal abuse and malevolence. So, do you love your spouse enough to discuss these hard things with them with grace? You said, Pastor, I can't. I can't talk to them about it. I can't do it. Yeah, you can, because you do it to your girlfriend. The fact that you can communicate the issues that bother you regarding your spouse with a friend of yours shows me you can discuss it. You're just choosing to discuss it with the wrong person. I'm preaching good this morning. I'm gonna give myself an offering. Let me see here. Okay, let's go to number five. Here's number five. Grace-filled communications forgives so your marriage can live. Ephesians 4:32 in the Amplified says this, be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, and understanding. Watch this. Read it with me, church. Forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So here's the parable, Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often should I forgive my spouse? He didn't say that. I'm putting that in there. He said, how often should I forgive my spouse when they sin against me? And Jesus, he said, 7 times. And Jesus said, oh, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring up his accounts up to date with the servants who borrowed money from him. And so in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. How much, church? Millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered him that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I'll pay it all. Verse 27. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and he did what, church? He forgave his debt. How much money did he owe? Millions. Look in verse 28. But when that same man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000 and he grabbed him by his throat and he demanded instant payment. And his fellow servant fell down and begged him and said, could I have a little bit more time? Be patient with me and I'll pay it. And he pleaded, but his creditor, this guy said he wouldn't wait. And so he had the man arrested and put in prison until his debt could be paid in full. And when some of the other servants saw it, they were upset. So they went back to the king and told him everything that had happened. And so the king called in the man who he had forgiven. And he said, you evil servant, I forgave that you of that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have mercy on you? Then the king, listen, the angry king sent the man to the prison to be tortured until his debt was paid in full. And he says, and that's what my heavenly father will do if you refuse to forgive your spouse. Church, let me tell you something. Not only does unforgiveness put us in a spiritual and emotional prison, it also puts our marriage in prison. When you don't forgive, or when you struggle to forgive, it's because you don't see how much God has and will have to forgive you. So watch this now. Let me show you what happens in relationship, and I'm closing right here. What's the remedy to not getting bitter? What's the remedy to not doing that? It's to exercise instant forgiveness. See, there's a difference between forgiveness and instant forgiveness. For if you just forgive, there's room in there. See, you can't let the feelings of hurt and disappointment set in because it makes forgiving harder. So what happens with couples is something happens and instead of forgiving instantly, okay, I forgive them in Jesus' name, you let your feelings set in. Like Drake talk about, you be in them. You let your feelings set in. Once you let your feelings set in and time sets in, you know what happens? It now makes it harder to forgive. And you wonder why there's a wall up. It's because you took to, that's why the Bible says give no place to the devil. Because when you give him that place and that space, the longer you take to forgive, the harder it will be to do it. So how do we close? How do we apply this today? Number one, decide to give grace every time you communicate. Number two, listen to this message once a week, once a day this week. So listen, I'm going to get your commitment right now. I need y'all and those who are watching. Once a day for 7 days to listen to this message. Who gonna commit to it? Let me see. Okay, good. All right. So our views are to go up. I'm gonna see that. I ain't doing it for the views because see, some of y'all need this in you right now. Here's number two, number three. Have the hard conversations so that peace and not silence will permeate your marriage. And then number four is begin to exercise instant forgiveness with every head bowed and every eye closed. Some of y'all in this room need to forgive. You have stayed pissed off too long. I said it. You say it. If you say it, I can say it. Too long. When are you going to forgive? Well, I don't see no changes yet, Pastor. That person changes had nothing to do with you forgiving them. Wow. Some of you have brick walls in your relationship, and the brick wall was created by that time that you've let go by to not forgive. And see, in your mind, you're thinking, I'm going to forgive them. But what you forgot is you ain't done it yet. And so there are some people in the room. You need to forgive your spouse. But Pastor, what if they do it again? Your current forgiveness has nothing to do with their future sins. Did y'all get that? So I want you right there to see, if there's something you need to let go of and forgive them for, do it right now. Don't wait. And that ugly, yucky feeling on the inside of you, it'll go away when you do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. It will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you've set it out to do. And I thank you for your word producing fruit in every marital relationship here and those who are watching, in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever it's about, real quick, if you die today, my question to you.